is Davin's Den. This is Davin's Den.
Welcome back. It's Davin's Den. Pip, Joe, Davin. Yeah, it's three of us. Yep, okay. That's all of us. Stupid. I got lost. I got lost by Pip bopping.
So gang's all here.
The gang.
Was that distracting?
Sorry. No, it was fun to watch. It was quite a spectacle.
Thanks for the big eyebrow raise. Like, what the hell was that?
Did I? I didn't mean to. I apologize for being honest. Okay. Let's do some School of Fools, shan't we? Okie dokie. A Washington State high school reportedly called off a student-led tribute to victims of the September 11th terrorist attacks after an unnamed staffer said the commemoration could, quote, unintentionally cause offense to some who see it differently, according to a report. The students at Eastlake High School in Sammamish wanted to coordinate the audience to wear red, white, and blue at a patriotic-themed football game, but were reportedly blocked. Defense, according to Jason Rance, a radio host. I wonder if that's his real name. KTTH. 770 and 94.5 FM on your dials. A student told Rance, why is the radio DJ like talking to students? Get away, you creep.
I don't know.
Stop it. You're not Fonzie.
Go away.
A student told Rance that the unnamed staffer told him red, white, and blue was going to be seen as racially insensitive and may affect people in a way that we will not understand. And for that reason, we were to change our theme. Okay. The radio station posted a screenshot of an email sent from one of the school's associate principals to inquiring parents saying that she understands the sacrifice and values our flag represents, but I think they, school leadership, just did not want to unintentionally cause offense to some who see it differently. Since it was not a home game, there was no opportunity to have an announcement about Patriots Day and to share why students were dressed in red, white, and blue, Shannon Parthmeyer, the district's communication director, told the station. Pardon me. The school's principal, Chris Bede, appeared to be taken by surprise at the notice about barring the students from wearing the color-coordinated theme, according to the station. I do want to clarify that schools do not have a right to ban students from wearing anything as long as it is not lewd, vulgar, etc. And the theme of red, white, and blue definitely would not fit into that category, be told parents. So, Joe, what say you?
Yeah, basically what I feel is that this one kid and they bow to this kid, it's they feel that... I'm sorry, I have my glasses on.
But okay,
were,
boomer.
Saying that the red, white, and blue was going to be seen as racially insensitive and may affect people in a way that we will not understand. I don't know what we don't understand. September 11th affected everyone. Everyone. And basically, I think that the school bowing to that was ridiculous. I think it was insensitive. And the thing about it is, and this is where I expanded on this, is that basically with the school, Andrea Pazer from the New York Post did an expose on this last week. And basically, September 11th is not being taught in a lot of states. It's not mandated to be taught. And you have these high school kids that weren't even born and don't realize the ramifications of what happened, how it affected a country, how it affected everyone. So it's a shame that these kids need to know just as much as we knew about Pearl Harbor, even though that we weren't born then, but we knew how it affected our country, how it affected the world, that this was something that affected everybody. And if we're showing colors or whatever in response to it, it's not being racially insensitive because it affected every race.
Here's the problem with part of your take. This was a student-led protest. I mean, not a student-led protest, a student-led tribute. It wasn't the students that don't understand. So this person from the New York Post and you were saying, well, the students need to know. No, these kids do know. It was a kid's idea. It wasn't organized by the school. This was a student thing. We don't know of any students who were against this thing. It just said some unnamed staffer deemed it might be insensitive. So
then that's
right, but I understand that. So while I agree with you that it does seem like nonsense to cancel it, Let's not blame the kids. I know everybody likes to pile on the kids. This was the kids doing something because they do know what 9/11 was. They do know the significance. So let's not see. So it's nice for the New York Post because it's a right wing rag, which, you know, helped us when we needed them. And it's nice for everybody to jump on the kids because it's always fun to jump on the kids because we're older, I guess. But this isn't the kids.
When I'm doing this live, I kind of put it on the kids. However, when
in your blog you did, and this one, I haven't read the expose, but it seems like, you know, you agree with that person did an expose on the kids. So where you and I agree is that this, yeah, it seems like kind of stupid to cancel this thing. Although I do have a reason why you could. It's not the kids. So I am Mr. Immunity, and I am protecting the children.
When I went into this live, basically I thought it might have been a kid. But when I wrote the blog, I was putting it on an unnamed staffer, and basically it boils back to the expose that Andrea Pazer was doing, that schools are really not teaching or have it in the curriculum mandatory to explain what happened on September.
And like, how many schools? And I don't know if they do or they don't. But if we're going to do an expose means a lot of research. Mm-hmm. You read the expose. I did not read it. So we're going to rely on your memory of it. How many schools and how many regions throughout the country did she do the research?
Well, basically what it was on is that 14, only 14 states out of the 50 have it mandated.
Doesn't mean they're not covering it. It doesn't mean it's not being covered. They just haven't written a law.
Still, that's just enough concerning that it should be mandated.
No, I don't think it has to be mandated.
It's not mandated in Jersey, which was right across from where that happened. It's not mandatory in Pennsylvania, where the plane in Shanksville went down.
Yeah.
So it's something that should be mandatory.
But here's the problem with this. Here's the problem with this. I can't believe we're talking about this article. They're saying it's not mandated. The kids don't know. But the kids do know. And so this whole expose is the expose is for cocked.
Let's clean this up, though.
Why do I have to do their work?
The staffer put wokeness above common sense.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
With that being in mind, there is a mindset among teachers where they don't, you know, that they don't. The kids need to know. I mean, they don't have the feeling of the ramifications of that day.
No, I don't know that to be true. I don't know that to be true from the facts. We have an unnamed staffer who said some might be offended, blah blah blah, which we all agree.
Right.
We disagree with that unnamed staffer.
I'm confused. Who would be offended about
it? I don't know who would be offended. Well, I'll answer that first. Here's the problem with this particular tribute. Here's the problem with it. It wasn't a home game. Do it. So these kids were going to. So it was going to happen at a football game,
right.
And they were going to play one of their rivals, somebody else on the schedule, and they were going to do it there. You know what? If you want to have more control over it, and the principal even said, well, we can announce Patriots Day. Do it on a home game. That's why I might say, you know what, kids? Let's not. This is for us. This is our tribute, our school's tribute. Let us help you with it. We're going to do it at a home game. Now, who would be offended? You know, it's kind of.
Who would be offended at an away game?
I don't need to. But if I'm doing something for our school and our community, I'm going to do it at home. I don't need to bring it someplace else. It's for our community.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't think that's even close to the issue.
Yeah, but why you should do it at home? Do it at a home game. That's where you do home events. You don't give away Yankee bobbleheads at Red Sox games.
The home game was
right.
September 11th, and it would be apropos.
You know what? You could.
But it's not a home, an away game in Ireland. We're all Americans.
But I could understand. But I'm not saying they should have. But I can understand where they would go. Well, one of the arguments is let's do it on our thing where we can control it. We can promote it. Everybody knows what we're doing.
Right.
You're not even giving a proper tribute if at a road game because the other school doesn't know what's going on. Well, why are these? Why is,
how could they not?
Because they don't know. Because if also why is everybody dressed in red, white, and blue? And you haven't coordinated with the other school.
You know.
You could coordinate with the other school, which is even a better way to do it.
Yeah, but I don't think that that has anything to do with what that weird objection was.
It doesn't.
Somebody
it doesn't.
Might
it,
be affected.
That's, they're two different things. But the principal, right. The principal said, you know, we could do it to share why students. He said the principal said it was not since it was not a home game, there was no opportunity to have an announcement about Patriots Day and to share why students were dressed white and blue. Yeah, what the principal's saying, we can do this better. I'm saying. The principal's not saying this is a bad idea. We shouldn't do it.
No,
but the thing about it, it was during the week of September 11th, and it's a show of patriotism.
But you could do it the week before. You have the weekend before. You have the weekend after. You could do it at any of those times. It's fine.
But it doesn't have the same effect if you do it the weekend after. It's that weekend.
When it comes to 9/11, you see.
I don't think there's a problem.
Well, you see 9/11. The tributes are going on 9/7, 9/8, 9/9. 9/10, all the way leading up to it. I mean,
this was the area where the football game.
Right,
was,
but the principal is saying, let's do this right. The principal is saying we can do this even better. So,
and that's fine, but that wasn't what was at issue at all.
No,
was
it wasn't what it was issued at all. But I'm saying if you the students let it get the school involved.
Yeah,
and else who would be offended? The way it could be offensive, dressing red, white, and blue. Should not be offensive. Now, if it was an anti-Muslim thing, that would be offensive.
Right.
What these kids were doing was not offensive. I don't know how it's racially insensitive. I don't, because again, why are we bringing race into this? The only way race is involved in this particular thing is, again, if you're speaking against Arab people or Muslims, but that's not what this is.
No.
This
right.
is
and with the client, you know, and the kids are a lot more tolerant. You know now, and you know that wouldn't be in their agenda. And like I said, it's like who would be offended? This day was the one day. It was a tragedy that affected the whole country, like the death of a relative or a friend. You know, and it white, black, Asian, you know, Arab. You know, it affected everybody.
No, no, the racially insensitive thing.
Football game during that period. I don't think there's anything wrong here. The guy's wrong.
Well, the racially insensitive thing, you need to go how, like and I'm willing
well,
to enter
first,
like,
who?
Well, yes, right. How?
Like I'm willing to entertain that. Okay, you have an objection. Okay, before we cancel this, how? How is this? And then if they get listen, it's possible I'm not thinking of it. I don't know. I mean, what? Because of slavery? I mean, but 9/11's not even about slavery.
If this was a Black Lives Matter thing, we could argue till the cows come home over this.
Right.
But this involves everyone was affected. What every walk of life, the people that perished in this were from every walk of life, to a top executive, to a secretary, to a fireman, to a cop. It affected
the staffer. Whoever objected was trying to be too cute by half. Listen, they're probably shell shocked because you know everybody's a Karen now. So I'm going to assume that their heart was in the right place and they were trying to save themselves a headache later on. Do the thing. Deal with the head. Because, you know, whoever complains, most people are going to go, that person's an asshole. I mean, you're not going to, I don't think you're going to have the woke mob rallying around who's ever objecting to this because it's not really a left-right thing.
Oh,
God,
they don't have a leg. And if they did, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
No.
Listen, there might be something. I just don't know it.
I don't understand what it is. Well, first of all, the person gave this sort of, well, maybe someone will object.
That's what
you
I'm
know
saying.
What? Maybe somebody will object about everything.
Well, that's why I'm saying they probably, like, let's save us a headache. But you got an
then do nothing. Ever.
But that's what this person would have you do.
And that's the thing. Let's save a headache. But who's going to be upset? You know, I mean, there's nobody that's, no matter where politically you are, if you're woke, if you're conservative, or what, it affected all of us. Regardless, it affected all of us.
You don't get a lot of
20th anniversary. It's honoring this. So
you don't get a lot of pro.
To get upset, it just doesn't wash.
You don't get a lot of pro terrorists in this country, no matter any walk of the aisle.
The guy in ISIS, you know what
I mean? Now listen. I understand. I understand Donald Trump would have you believe thousands of people were dancing in the street of Jersey City, but that's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Even if you were going to go with that argument, who gives a shit about that? Every walk of life and nationality was affected that day,
right?
Personally, you know?
So honestly, it really should be. It really should be at this point. A national holy day, not holiday per se, like holiday the way Jews do Yom Kippur, you know, where you're fucking miserable. It really should be a solemn day.
Yeah.
But of course, this country doesn't really do solemn days.
No.
We'll turn it into a tag sale and barbecue. So.
Oh, you read my mind on that. Was a disgrace.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I agree with that for that reason, because we're going to make it a holiday or so that we could sell furniture. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I wish America could do solemn. Better.
Yeah.
I mean, they do read the names every year, but it really should be a day of reflection.
Yeah.
Sacrifice, of heroism, of pride. You could really
helping others.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the thing about, and like I said, I did add on about the curriculum of teaching this. But this is like a death of somebody. Well, obviously, there were plenty of people that had, lost relatives. But if you didn't, it was still a day that you relive, like the day my mom died, like the day my dad died, like the day you relive the events of that day.
Yeah.
Sitting at my day program that day with my coworker telling me a plane hit the Twin Towers. And we're like, it's probably a small plane. And then sitting there and hearing there was another plane, and we're all sitting there going, my God, we're at war.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Pearl Harbor Day.
Everything. I mean.
But you know what? But really, Pearl Harbor Day comes and goes, and for our generation, it doesn't really symbolize that much. Now, because more and more from that generation are dying off, there's not as many of those people. Pearl Harbor Day is something completely different to them than it is for us. And we were all taught about Pearl Harbor.
Right.
So it's not even the curriculum. I just think it's whether you experienced it. We happen to live in very close proximity, and we were all
Pearl Harbor to 9/11. There was a woman that worked with us, Audrey, who was, she was in her 70s and stuff like that. And I asked her, I go, Audrey, is this the same thing as when you went through Pearl Harbor? She goes, it's worse. And I go, how is it worse? She goes, Pearl Harbor was over 3,000 miles away. The city's 30 miles away.
Right. Well, that's why I said our proximity to it. I don't know if the people in Indiana have the same visceral feeling that we have. I mean, this was less than 10 miles from where we live.
We could smell it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Listen.
You could smell that.
I really don't know what's being taught in history class now. Listen, I can remember, I don't think we learned about the Vietnam War in history class.
I learned about it watching TV dinners, watching it on TV.
Right,
that's how old I am.
Right, but I'm.
But
saying,
we didn't get up to Vietnam in history class.
I know, but I mean,
why?
But I'm a half a generation after you.
Yeah.
So we could have learned it, and I don't remember being covered. So I don't know. I don't know how they decide what should be covered, what should not be covered. You could definitely make the argument that this was more impactful than Vietnam.
Because
it happened on a homeland.
You absolutely could, because you got to remember Vietnam. You had your hawks and you had your doves. Hawks and doves. Hawks and doves could argue day in and day out whether we should have been in Vietnam, whatever. And Vietnam did affect society to an effect. But 9/11, regardless, hawk, dove, liberal, conservative, woke, not woke, break, whatever, it affected everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want to get involved in an apples and oranges argument about Vietnam.
No, we're talking about war, stupid.
No.
We're not talking about produce. I don't understand where you're going with this. What the fuck? We're having a serious conversation. She's thinking about her tummy.
Yeah, I'd prefer a banana right now, but I mean,
because you're a whore.
But, I don't think that, that's something that we need to go off into, which affected people more or more people or whatever. They were both horrible, tragic events, or times, and affected people in different ways and different generations in different ways. The thing is that, we're talking about this particular thing, and Joe has already said it, but, we were all affected. People overseas were affected. It was a bad time, and it's still visceral. For me, many, many others, I didn't lose anybody that day, but it was, I lost a little bit of innocence.
All right.
That day.
And listen, Pip cannot spare any more innocents.
And once again, we all did as a country, regardless race, creed, whatever. All of
I think we've gotten all we can get out of that. We all think it was silly. The facts say that the kids were completely in step with how it should be thought of, and it was one unnamed staffer that kind of pulled the trigger on it. One person was probably trying to be a little too cute by half. That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the LAPD. They're following you. Los Angeles police officers are being encouraged to obtain social media information during field interviews with civilians, regardless if they are suspected of being involved in a crime, according to documents obtained by the Brennan Center for Justice. The group collected the documents related to the LAPD practice in an effort to gain insight into how police departments monitor social media. It noted that a 2015 memo from then LAPD Chief Charlie Beck said officers should collect social media and email account information, including the type of account and account name during interviews, with the data then documented on field interview cards. On a July 22nd, 2020 memo, a current police chief, Michael Moore, not the one that Joe hates, the other one, said the card to the said the basis for investigations, arrests, and prosecutions. By the way, he makes a mean documentary. Anyway, information documented on the FIS field, I guess, is one of the most important tools that that department utilizes to solve crime. The story was first reported by The Guardian. On the back of the cards, a box asked for email and social media information, including Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook accounts. The Brennan Center said a review of field interview cards in 40 other cities found that the cards used by police departments in those locations were not used to collect social media. So this is an LA thing.
Right.
In a statement released by the LAPD on Thursday, the department said social media handles can be critical pieces of contact information, along with phone numbers and email addresses, because people communicate through social media now just as frequently as they do through calls, texts, and emails. You always want when the police are sliding into your DMs. The LAPD is here to keep Angelino safe, and we are committed to protecting their privacy rights as we confront that challenge every day. And how better to protect your privacy rights than to know everything you're doing? The department told Fox News the field interview card policy is being updated without elaborating, which will be presented to the police commission board. Documents also show how LAPD works with online surveillance companies, something many police departments already do. The LAPD use of field cards came under scrutiny last year when three officers were charged with falsifying records claiming people they had stopped were gang members. You know, here's the thing. Like, I feel like when you're stopped by a police officer, especially if you have nothing to hide, you're pretty much compelled to cooperate. Well, even if you don't have to. Like, for instance, we talked about when the cops pull you over, you don't have to let them search your trunk. Can I look in your trunk? No! That's the end. You don't have to do. Because invariably, you know, back in the day, oh, no, there's a joint back there. How'd that get back there? You forget. But, you know, hey, can I have your Twitter information? You know, you know you didn't do anything wrong. No, they shouldn't ask for that. Yep. If they want, especially if you're not a suspect. You know, right. And if you are a suspect, well, I think they have people that can investigate and track you down. If I can track down somebody's social media, I would think the police could do it. It seems lazy, and it seems like a way to track people when they don't have to track people. Your phone number. We all have phone numbers. That should be enough. From your name, your full name, and your phone number, they can find anybody, whatever they need. So if they think you might be a witness to something, they can find you. There's no need for social media. Now, what could they do wrong with it? You get the wrong police officer, all of a sudden you post something, they're fucking blackmailing you. God forbid you're a young woman. Now you get this unwanted attention by this lecherous police officer. There's just no need. You're opening yourself up to things that you don't need. And this appears to be the only police department that is doing it. And if they're the only ones, they're not. It's not that they're smarter than everybody else. They just thought they could get away with it for whatever reason.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, you consider that Los Angeles, not that other cities don't, but they have a huge gang problem. But the thing is that I don't think that they have any right to ask you this.
I mean, listen.
What your social media?
Are criminals stupid? Sure, but I don't know if they're putting a, you know, the next hit on their Facebook page.
Some of them do. They put the dumbest stuff.
But
on
you know
there.
What? You can search somebody's name. You can find out somebody's social media.
Or do picture
and
their
you know,
photo.
Listen, if somebody's a suspect, you could argue that they could ask if you're a suspect,
right?
And you should have the right to refuse.
Of
but
course.
If you're not a suspect, like they're just stopping you, they could just be stopping you on the street. You know, they could be. It could be a you know pulled you over for a taillight.
Right.
Yeah, it could be anything. No, you don't need my social media. But no. If I was in that situation, I'd probably hand it over before reading this story because you just go, yeah, well, what's the worst that could happen? They're fucking keeping track of you.
And the interesting thing is you get pulled over by a cop, license and registration. I'll be right back. And you're like, gee, how's this going to pan out? However, in that interim, he's looking up your license. He's looking up this. He's got plenty of information.
Yes.
Okay? And if he's that concerned, he can go and he can look up Google my name, find out anything he wants. This is a little bit more.
This man on the LIE is a porn star, a gay porn star. he doesn't look. Sir, you were going at 15 over the speed limit. I'm going to need you to pull down your pants. Is this you?
Put your cock out and your hands out, please.
Put your cock where I can see it.
Yes, please.
But, you know, that's true. Like I said, you know, it's like, well, they're trying to stop crime. Well, you know, we're giving up a little freedoms here. And they look at you, they want your license, they want your this. They could find anything they want when they're in the squad car. If more the concern, here you go, sir. If it still concerns them even more, they can still investigate. They can go. They can Google me on my website, on my porn site, or wherever you want. but still, you know, I mean, I think this. And you know, I always talk about like with the how far are they going to go? Well, if we let them do this, they're going to go more. And I always say, and it's the same thing applies here. You know, you got enough information.
This so reeks.
How far is this going to go?
This reeks of lazy policing, and a little creepy.
Oh, creepy for sure.
But it's lazy policing. Joe and I both just illustrate how if they need to find more information on you, they can. But I'll tell you what, it's another reason to keep your shit to private, like your Facebook. Like, they would go to my Facebook page, all they would see, the only public post I have is when I'm promoting stuff. So I guess if they want to know where I'm going to be salting an audience with my fucking mouth, I guess they can show up there. There's going to be a killing!
And they have guys that look into stuff at the police department. They're even called detectives.
Sure. No shit, Sherlock. No, seriously.
It's not like people that sit in a room, boys shitless, looking for stuff to look up. No, the detectives. If they're that concerned about you, you know, it's like, all right, sir, have a good day. If you don't think that he kept that information in the past, if he thinks you're that nefarious enough of a person, he's going to, all right, because he has nothing on you. All right, have a good day, sir. He's going to relay that information to the detectives. They're going to find it anyway. But, however, they find it on their own accord with information that they got from your name and what you're by law is supposed to give them, your license, and you look it up from there.
You know, so what we're asking them...
Go look it up, have at it.
We're asking the police to be a cyber stalker like any other creep. That's all we're saying. Just do the research. Do the legwork, police.
Yeah, no, you can't have my social media accounts. No, you can't look at my car without proper reason. I understand search and seizure laws. No. Here's my license and registration.
I don't give my email address to the lady at CVS. I'm going to give it to the cops? No.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Good point.
Can we have your email address? No. We're going to send you coupons. I don't want that stuff.
I don't want that shit.
No.
What's all your right. zip code? None of your business.
I'm off the grid. I came out of the woods looking for toilet paper.
I feel like if you were off the grid, you wouldn't come in for toilet paper. I feel like you're using leaves, but that's just...
Well, I'm lying, stupid. Yeah.
You're blind. Then you do the sniff test. You don't need toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's just common sense. All right. Fox News. Oh, look at Pip lit up. Lit up like a Christmas tree, which is something that Fox News is proud of because there's always a war on Christmas trees. Is a war on Christmas season? I think today's the last day of summer. The war on Christmas might be heating up, especially now that we got a lib in the White House.
No, the war on Christmas began in my neighborhood on, I think it was September 13th, when my crazy neighbor put up their Christmas decorations.
It's a little early. All right. So a steady criticism of COVID vaccine mandates by figures on Fox News has drawn attention to its own company's stringent rules on the topic, even from President Joe Biden. Joe Biden. Yeah, he's the guy. The president. Oh, God. Wow. I got president on them.
Something.
That's my impression of Joe Biden. Can't remember what the fuck I'm doing. The president was denounced as an authoritarian and divider in chief on Fox last week after announcing new efforts to compel more Americans to be vaccinated. Yes, you're trying to kill us by keeping us safe.
Yeah.
When Biden set forth a plan requiring companies with 100 or more employees to ensure their workers are fully vaccinated or show a negative COVID test at least once a week, he knew that some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson, and even Fox News. What? Yet Kevin Lord... I believe this is the year of the Kevin Lord. Yet Kevin Lord, executive vice president of human resources at Fox News parent Fox Corp, said in a memo this week, the company will be requiring all unvaccinated employees to be tested each day, not just once a week. Each day you get penetrated in the old schnoz.
Ooh, say penetrated again, slower.
Penetrated.
Lower.
Penetrated.
Ooh,
all right.
There you go.
Not just once a week. In order to work in company facilities, the policy was first reported by CNN. Look at them snooping around Foxes. I wonder what they're up to over there. Fox last month required employees to report evidence of their status, and Lord said more than 90% of full-time employees have been fully vaccinated. Fox's most popular primetime host, Tucker Carlson, devoted nearly the first 20 minutes of his show Wednesday to Biden's COVID efforts, saying the rules require people to submit to being bullied. Submit! Submit! You can't allow people to force you to take drugs that you don't want or that you don't need, Carlson said. It's up to you what drugs you take, period. If you allow people to force you to take drugs you don't want, you're done. They own you. You're no longer free, period. He interviewed comic Jim Brewer, who we'll get to shortly, who has said he is canceling shows at venues that require audience members to be vaccinated. Carlson said Brewer was talking like an American man. An American man. Where are the rest of the American men? Because when I think of an American man, I think of bow tie wearing Tucker Carlson. An American man.
Which rhymes with, oh, never mind.
Spam?
What?
No. In another interview with Carlson, former CBS News reporter Lyra Logan compared Biden's plans to Marxism and Nazism. It's just like that. They're always bringing it. You know, at some point, there's like Himmler and Hitler going, again?
Again?
Can't these people come up with another analogy? What is it with America and Nazis? It's bad enough they got a segment on The Den.
Nazis, commies, socialists, all the boogeymen.
All the boogeymen. All of it is about control, she said. On screen, Chiron, I think it's Chiron, right? Is it Chiron? Chiron? C-H-Y-R-O-N, the thing that they run blurry.
Chiron.
Oh, on screen, Chiron's read, no surprise, Biden's rules are incoherent and Fauci wants to ban human interaction. Thank God we have Mr. Immunity. Fox was attacked from the right by former employee Eric Bolling, now on the conservative network Newsmax. Bolling said Wednesday night that network leaders are pushing the wrong policies. So while Fox hosts bemoan and complain about the liberals who are forcing Americans to get vaccinated, they themselves are doing the same thing. And that is the textbook definition of hypocrisy, he said. And Fox said, but why? I thought we were all friends here. Why? We're going after those guys. Are we all on the same team? So Bolling said, no, you can't be long again. Incoming motherfucker! I think that's a direct quote of Eric Bolling. He used to be on the Five.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Incoming motherfucker! And Mr. Immunity says, let it in! Let it in!
No, we didn't.
Bolling said he's vaccinated himself by choice. And unlike how he left Fox, which was not by choice, and said Newsmax encourages its employees to get vaccinated, but doesn't require it. Bolling was ousted from Fox News in 2017, following reports that he sent unwanted lewd pictures to women who work with him at the network, to which Newsmax said, we like the cut of your jib.
Oh, my God. Dirtbag.
Oh, my God. It's just filth and filth.
Ugh. Endless.
A Fox spokesperson declined comment on Bolling or other criticism of a disconnect between company policy and opinions expressed by its personnel. To be clear, also, while it will be requiring daily COVID tests for the unvaccinated, Fox isn't mandating shots. Now we're just going to jab you in the nose every goddamn day when you show up.
I would rather take one shot
than
have those Q-tips up the nose every... Oh,
I mean, really, if we're talking about personal freedom, leave my schnoz alone. But anyway, all right.
Get out of my orifice.
You're not wanted here. What are you, Eric Bolling? Get out of here. No Fox on Air personnel has addressed the company's COVID policies. No, because there's a fucking memo going around that don't say shit, stupid. It's not on the little football Hannity throws out every night. Here's our policy.
X-Nay on the axe.
I can't talk about it, but go long. So, by the way, I have heard Hannity encourage people to get vaccinated. I have heard Hannity do that. CNN requires its employees who work in the office or in the field with colleagues to be vaccinated, and last month fired three people for violating that rule. A memo sent by Fox News Media CEO Susan Scott last month outlined Fox's requirement that employees report their vaccination status. Nazis, where are your papers? Scott said then that the masks were optional for people who had been fully vaccinated but were strongly encouraged in public buildings and required in small places like broadcast control rooms. All right. First of all, I don't understand the strategy of Fox News to attack Biden on getting vaccinated. Like, I know for people to get vaccinated. Like, I know superficially it's good for their ratings in the short term.
Yeah.
So in the short term, I get it. Attack lib. Good ratings. I get that. Here's the problem. They got a better chance of dying. They can't. They're not going to be able to watch your news, and I put quotes in that. They're not going to be able to watch your news programming if they're fucking dead. Yeah, so, which is why even Donald Trump said, no, get vaccinated, to which they booed. He's like, no, motherfuckers, you need to vote. You need to vote.
But here's the real world analogy of this.
Okay.
Fox is a corporation. They not only have on-air staff, they have support staff. As a corporation, you want to set a mandate to try to keep in their eyes everybody safe. Fox also has on-air talent that are right-wing and use sensationalism to draw ratings. So you've got a corporation to run. However, your corporation is based on right-wing conservative politics, and sometimes it can be sensationalistic. So you have to initiate this policy as a corporate, as a business. And then you're going to have your on-air staff that have lobbied against stuff like that. So basically the narrative is, okay, but this is the corporate policy. You will have to be tested every day. Well, I'm going to reach out. Of course, that's how you get ratings. But we also have to run a business. Our business is right-wing based and sensationalistic. So it's a two-way
street. But I just laid out. It's a stupid business model. They're going to die. This should not be conservative versus liberal politics. We should be wanting everybody to live. Listen, don't get me wrong. It's much better for the Democrats if there's less conservatives in the country to win elections. Although, by popular vote, the Democrats win all the time. But if you kill a bunch of Florida and Texas...
We could also argue until the cows come
home. I'm not arguing
over how effective the vaccine is, how the recovery rate from COVID. I mean, we could sit till the cows come home, and basically you have a staff there that look at these facts, debate these facts and stuff. However, we're running a business. We've had thousands of, we have a 900 employee, whatever, and we have to have a corporate narrative, maybe due to what our medical plan is or whatever. So they have to walk the line. Well, we've got a bunch of people that are out. Well, fine, they'll have to get tested every day. I know that's how the bread and butter is. But however, you talk to the fucking insurance, you talk to HR and see how we're going to get the premiums down. So there's a dynamic with
Fox News, though. Fox News' testing policy is more stringent than Biden's. Listen, I understand for the average person that just consumes Fox News, none of this resonates. They're not very discerning people. Yeah, there I said it. But if you dig a little deeper like this article does, a common sense person goes, what type of bullshit is this? Eric Bolling is actually absolutely right. You're yelling at the president. You're doing the complete opposite. You are hypocrites. Walk the walk, motherfucker.
But if you got like Tucker Carlson doing that, is he representing Tucker Carlson's views on a show that's based on his agenda, or is it based on the corporate narrative? Let's say that we were back on TNR or whatever it was called,
WTBQ,
and they have a narrative on a certain issue, okay? But our show, we have our opinion on something. It's Davinstein. This is our opinion. TRL had this agenda. We're working for the company, but our show and what our show is about is not based on the company narrative. A company makes money off of us basing our opinions on the narrative.
Yeah, but the company narrative, if you watch all their shows, it's anti-vaccine, anti-Fauci. I mean, even when Trump was president, it's anti-Fauci,
yes.
Which I don't understand. Like, people are too stupid. It's the worst business plan ever. Like, to have people dead. You get bigger ratings with more people alive.
The deal is that, and like I said, we're not going to get in a whole debate about it. There's a thing on the statistics, where the statistics are coming from, the recovery rate if you do get it, if this is nonsense or not. It's all conjecture, and it's all based on what these guys do for a living. So when you say, well, people could die, well, on their agenda, and like I said, we're not going to debate about it. It's just for the fact of this discussion where it's their job, their gig, what brings the money in, to question all of this.
They're a cancer.
You got to keep the lights on in a business.
They're a cancer.
As a corporate entity, you got to do what you got to do.
They're a cancer. They're not a news channel anymore. It's almost all fucking opinion. Listen, I have no problem with going.
But that's their gig.
But unfortunately, I get that, Joe. But unfortunately, people—that's all people consume. That's the problem with it. Listen, I have no problem going after liberal policies and going after liberal politicians, and that's the gig, and that's what they've always done. I have no problem with that business model. I have a problem with this, where they're playing with people's health. To me, that's a little different. Here, let me give you an example. Tucker Carlson talks about not allowing the government to force you to take a drug. Is Tucker Carlson unaware that our military has been forced to take vaccines since George Washington? George Washington forced the troops to take vaccines. Is Tucker Carlson saying he's more American, more of an American man than George Washington? Are they incapable of having an intellectually honest conversation? And the answer is yes. Except if you watch, I can't think of his name now, Chris Wallace on Sunday. Chris Wallace will sink his fangs into both sides,
yeah.
Which is why...
Look, it's Tucker Carlson. Like I said, with Tucker Carlson, it's more sensationalistic. And what I don't like about, I'm not that fond of Tucker Carlson, because when he does have somebody on with an opposing view, he really doesn't let them get a word in edgewise.
Yeah.
So, which doesn't lead to a good debate. But that's what brings the ratings in. That's what brings the rating in. So we got to pay the bills. However, as a corporate entity, to keep support staff and stuff like that, we want to have that's what they're going to enforce, which goes back to they're a corporation, they're a private entity. They can do what they need to do. It doesn't look hypocritical. We're trying to keep the lights on. So you got to look at it in a real world.
Now, Joe, I understand what you're saying. That's a business model. I'm just saying it's a very short term business model. It's not a long term one. It's stupid. It's insensitive. It's hypocritical. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit about the people they serve. Because I got news for you: the fat Southerner with diabetes is probably going to have a worse outcome, somebody with COVID-19, than the New York fucking liberal who works out all the time and is in great shape. Now that doesn't mean everybody in the South is fat and every conservative.
But still. we're not going to debate. I just want to. But still, there are people that get it and they're better in a week.
Sure.
So there's give and take on that. Now you have a network that's based on a lot more give. That's their deal.
Right, but it's not. But they're attacking Biden for being a Nazi and a Marxist. For encouraging people to get vaccinated.
Protect themselves and their families.
It's ridiculous. I can't. All right, enough with Fox News. I just thought it was so egregious. Most of the time, Fox News, I just roll my eyes. I mean, there was a time I watched it.
If you're running a zoo and you got, and the zoo is like, we don't want innocent animals to die. And meanwhile, you got the lion cage. They ate the fucking zebra.
Well,
they're fucking lions. That's why people.
Yeah, but the problem is Fox News is the chimpanzee and they're leading him into the lion cage. That's where people go, I trust the chimpanzee. Meanwhile, the chimpanzee worked to deal with the lion.
Like I said, we're not going to debate, but it's a matter of opinion if that's the case. However, that's how they make their money. That's what pays the bills. However, we're running a corporation and we got,
Listen, I've said it before. They can do whatever they want. I just don't, and I did a whole thing on this. I did the research. Probably about a year ago, where other countries, what the qualifications to be called news was.
Yeah.
This is not news.
No,
Fox, they can do whatever they want. They just should not be considered a news company because they're not dealing.
They're in a pit. They'll even tell you we're in a pit. We have a pit.
Yeah, they'll tell you in court. The problem is their people don't understand it. That's the problem.
They still believe it's Fox News.
Right. All right. Let's move on.
That's their rating. People, you know, people have the freedom to make their choice whether they're right or wrong.
Listen, you know what?
What can I say?
I got nothing to worry about. I read DC Comics. Batman will protect me. All right.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
All right. So we have two comics, well-known comics, who canceled parts of tours due to COVID for different reasons, so we shall discuss. Patton Oswalt has canceled his upcoming shows in Florida and Salt Lake City, Utah, because the venues wouldn't comply with his request to require attendees to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. I did everything I... This is him talking, not me. I did everything I could to prevent this, but my 2022 show in Salt Lake City and my four shows in Florida in December have been canceled, Oswald said on Instagram. Hopefully I'll rebook them in the future. Every other venue on the tour, even the Texas ones, were cool about requiring proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. I'm really bummed about this. Salt Lake City is an eerily beautiful city where the sun reflects through the mountains and gives everything this outworldly glow. In Florida, well, I love Florida. We've been best of frenemies since the mid-90s. In a video posted to his social media platform, the comedian said he requested requirements to protect his fans against the virus. The tour, entitled Patton Oswalt Live, Who's Ready to Laugh, was set to start on Friday, September 10th, in Medford, Massachusetts, and end on April 9th. Of 2022 in Chicago, Illinois. The good news is we're keeping everyone who comes to these shows safe and healthy because the numbers are going up. Now, the bad news, of course, is there are five venues on the tour that are not complying with this. This difficult decision was made due to the rising numbers of COVID cases and also because I have an ego, but my ego is not big enough to think that people should die to hear my stupid comedy. So hopefully, in the future, we can rebook those when sanity holds sway again. But this sucks. I was really looking forward to Florida, to Salt Lake City. Florida is one of the number of states that have banned the use of vaccine passports, which can be any documentation that an individual has been immunized. The Republican governor of the state, Ron DeSantis, has issued an executive order stating that the vaccination information is private and should not be shared by mandate. Vaccine passports reduce individual freedom and will harm patient privacy, the order said. Oswalt's show in Salt Lake City was going to be held at Kingsbury Hall at the campus of the University of Utah. The executive director of Kingsbury Hall Performing Arts Center, Brooke Hergesy, told the outlet that the school is following state law and the venue has to as well. The university has a vaccination requirement for students and healthcare university employees, but cannot extend that to to patrons at campus venues for experiences presented by the University of Utah. The assistant dean said. However, outside rentals like Live Nation may make their own safety protocols. Unfortunately, Oswald's team had already made the decision to cancel the January show prior to this clarification, but we're looking forward to rescheduling with him in the future, and especially after hearing how much he loves Utah's iconic scenery, she added. Listen, I think Patton Oswalt is doing what he believes is right. I think it sucks for some of his fans. I think he's doing what he did is right. Here's why I don't think he was virtue signaling, because the only snarky thing he said, the only thing that was inflammatory, because I was when sanity resumes, like that was that was the only thing. All right, dude, you didn't have to do that, but that's not that much. I mean, that's what he believes. I didn't think, and if you listen to the audio, watch the video, he did seem upset, not outraged by it, not attacking Florida or Utah. Go, listen, man, this is just what I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to do these shows unless I feel I'm doing what is best. If I had his power, might I do the same thing? I don't know. But just personally, I happen to like that stance.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I thought his tone was fine. I mean, like I said, it sucks for those venues in Florida. Listen, their governor has a rule, and now, you know, that those venues are going to lose out on money, and those fans are going to lose out, and those waitresses are going to lose out on a big payday.
Yeah,
it sucks. Not the worst. That was my takeaway from Patton's thing.
I was thinking on both things. We'll read the Brewer story in a moment. Yeah. But I would think in both cases, obviously, you're going to have, Patton Oswalt's attack. He's more left-leaning. Brewer's more right-leaning.
See, I didn't even know that about Brewer up until what we're going to get into afterwards. Like, I knew Oswalt was left. I didn't know Brewer's politics. I never really thought about his politics through his comedy.
We haven't until recently this year, because he was on Anthony's show. Hadn't been on Ann's show really at all. He finally came on Ann's show. And, you know, and you really learn that he has a lot of right-wing leanings on that. Also, as we go into the next story, it may be a case of, you know, these guys laying out their agenda. However, also feeling maybe they'll wait another year because due to people maybe not coming out to the shows due to the fear of having COVID or, you know, getting COVID and stuff like that. And maybe that's why they're kind of hesitant.
Well, I would think, I see, it's interesting. For Patton Oswalt, I would think that his audience skews left. And in Florida, where it's pretty much do whatever you want, you know, that's a valid point. You know, his fans, I don't know what his numbers are, but that's certainly an interesting point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought his tone was pretty much matter of fact. Like a little melancholy about the whole thing. But I didn't think it was inflammatory. Did you think it was inflammatory?
It's Patton Oswalt, you know, just being Patton Oswalt.
Right, did you watch the video at all?
No, tell you the truth, I did not watch the video. But I've seen, you know, I've seen other videos of, I know how, you know, his leanings and how he phrases.
Right, but I don't really feel like he put his lean. I don't really think he made this that political. The only thing I said was the sanity. When the sanity resumes, you go, all right, now he's casting aspersions. That was the only thing where I go, okay, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah,
and you want to know something? Maybe when he says, when the sanity resumes, maybe he's pissed off because, you know, due to the uncertainty of these shows maybe being canceled due to an excess in COVID or the changing policy. He's like, you know what? I'm going to wait till 23. As another year, I got to sit on my ass because I don't know if this tour is going to make money.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe that's leading to that. And so, same thing with Brewer, even though he's leaning the other way. You know.
Well, I think they're a little different here. Like I don't have a problem with anybody canceling. We'll get into Brewer in a second. I don't have anybody with canceling their shows if they have the power to because of how they feel personally. I don't have an issue with that. So whether it's Oswalt or Brewer, I don't personally have an issue. I think it sucks for people. But they have that right. It's, you know, if they don't want to be in a certain situation, they certainly have that right. All right, let's get to Brewers now. So yeah, I thought Oswald's tone was fine. I thought, you know, it's okay. I didn't really think he was virtue signaling too much. Just laid it out there. This is what it is. You know, I hope I get to come back.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely made it seem like he wants to do those dates at some point.
Sure. Why not?
So now his was a short video. And the reason I didn't record either one, I could have done Patton Oswalt's because his was 2.5 minutes, but Brewer's was like 21 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, if I play Patton Oswalt's, then you're not playing Brewer's. What's wrong with you? Look at the lefty. And I didn't feel like sitting there for 21 minutes to pick out the highlights of Brewer's thing.
Yeah.
So I just said, fuck it. I'm not going to play anybody's. That's why nobody's hearing the audio right now. You can certainly track it down. I didn't feel like sitting with 21 minutes of Brewer going on about and picking out the highlights for you.
Right.
All right. Former Saturday Night Live cast member Jim Brewer canceled two shows over vaccine requirements for audience members, making him the latest of several celebrities to refuse to perform at venues that have implemented COVID-19 restrictions. Brewer announced that he would cancel shows at Michigan's Royal Oak Theater and New Jersey's Wellmont Theater, which I've been to a few times.
Yeah, nice.
Wellmont's close.
Yeah, it's all right. In Facebook video last week, called vaccine mandates for audiences segregation. That's a quote. This is another quote. What this dictatorship is doing is wrong. Continuing quote. I know I'm going to sacrifice a lot of money, but I'm not going to be enslaved by the system or by money. And nor should anyone that wants to laugh or be entertained, he said. Laugh, slave! I said that. in the 22-minute long video. It's a lot. He defended his decision, saying he needed to stick to his morals and that people should not be forced, bribed, dictated to take the vaccine. I will not do a show where they force you to come out and laugh. Come by gunpoint and laugh. I don't know. And the only way that you can do that is get a shot, he said. He says he's canceling shows because the segregation of them forcing people to show up with vaccination proof to prove that you've had a shot. I don't care if you're vaccinated. It's a choice. And if you have anything else to say, honestly, I don't care. I don't care. He went on to say, I have to stick to my morals. I have to stick to what I know is right. You're segregating. You're creating hate. You're creating judgment. Throughout the post, he encourages people to spread love, acceptance, and to lift each other up. In a statement in Newsweek, Anthony J. Morrison, the general manager of the Wellmont Theater, said the policy is put in place to protect audience members, artists, and theaters. I think he meant the people that work at theaters.
Right.
He said the theater wishes him well. Good day, sir. we'll be fine when Jay Leno rolls into town. Don't worry, goat boy, you. Newsweek also reached out to the... Jay Leno plays that place. Reached out to the Royal Oak Theater for comment Tuesday afternoon. For comment, but had not heard back. The story will be updated a lot. He's not the first celebrity to cancel shows at venues requiring audience members to show proof of vaccination. Musician Eric Clapton announced that he would not play at any venue where audience members would be required to be vaccinated after United Kingdom Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced that vaccine passes would be required at clubs and venues, Rolling Stone reported. Following the Prime Minister's announcement on Monday the 19th, July 2021, I feel honored, bound to make an announcement of my own! Clapton said in a statement, I wish to say that I will not perform on any stage where there is a discriminated audience present. Unless there's a provision made for all people to attend, I reserve the right to cancel the show. You always have the right to cancel a show, stupid. Metal band Alacena canceled shows in St. Louis and Nashville over COVID-19 restrictions, writing in a message to fans, they will pull shows at venues that are no longer allowing the autonomy. Metal Sucks reported. Matt Caspi, one of Israel's most popular musicians. Yeah, you know him. also canceled a series of shows over COVID restrictions, which he called fascism. This is really what you want to say in Israel.
But he didn't mind that because one gig was in Palestine. So, you know.
Listen, here's the thing. Like I said, I don't have a problem with Brewer canceling if he thinks this is the right thing to do. I have no issue with Jim Brewer going, listen, I am against this. You know, I don't think you should have to have a vaccine to see my show. If Jim Brewer would have left it there, we could. Okay, it's another reason to do it. He's the artist. Again, sucks for him, sucks for his fans, sucks for the venue. Jim Brewer has every right to do it.
Yep.
Here's where I think
oh,
he went.
Mind.
He used loaded language.
Oh, and yeah.
It's slavery, segregation, dictator. He's virtue signaling.
Yeah.
He's making a play that I'm, and then he goes on Tucker Carlson. He's making a play that I'm going to make this a right wing versus left wing thing. That's where I think he's different than Patton Oswalt. Like I said, if he would just said, "Listen, this is against my beliefs. I don't think people should have to get vaccinated to see me. And I understand these are policies, but until something changes, I can't do shows there." I would have been like, "All right, that's cool."
Because, like I said, I'm just putting it out there. Once again, I think that basically due to ticket sales for people that don't want to be vaccinated, I think it would cut in on the tour. And he probably said, I can't go out in 22. He was probably furious and said, I have to wait till 23. And like I said, it affects a lot of people. Brian McKinnon is one of my comedy buddies. He's his opener. So I'm sure Brian could use the money. But one thing I want to propose, I just read this story today, just doing late show prep. Chrissy Mayer, who was a comic, who was on Anthony's platform and stuff like that, canceled her dates in California because of the COVID restrictions that they're requiring people to be vaccinated. What I could do is I could reach out to Chrissy and see if you want to interview her and maybe play the interview on the show.
Let me think about that. Let me think about that. I have to think. And this is going to come out wrong. It's not a disrespect.
I know you have to think. I know. They don't have that time.
This is not a disrespect to Chrissy, but I have to think, how interested am I in any of these opinions? Because I just think it's a personal choice, which I don't have a problem with. I never have a problem with an artist saying, for whatever reason, I don't want to do that. So let me think. Like I said, I don't have a problem.
And the story's kind of after the fact because we did enough. I saw the prep a little early. You know, there wasn't enough time. But still, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
How you feel. And, you know,
we'll see.
Try to reach out to her.
Sure.
She always goes on podcasts. She has plenty of her. So it's not like, well, she doesn't do it. No, she goes
no,
on
I know.
Shows. So it's not, she wouldn't be averse to it.
Like I said, I have no issue with Brewer refusing to do the shows because he personally thinks it's wrong. I have an issue with the fucking tone, the inflammatory, and you know what? Maybe now that he came out as right wing, which I think is a big marketing mistake, maybe he's making a play for the right wing audience. Maybe that's what he. I never thought of Jim.
He could be doing that, or he could be pissed off, like he said that. You know, I'm looking at the numbers here. If we don't get this, we're gonna lose our fucking shirts if we go out.
Listen, man, I was supposed to before COVID.
About it, and he's lashing out. And like I said, that's just a guess. What do I know? You know.
Before COVID, I was supposed to see D. Snyder at Wellmont, and then D. decided no. So it's possible ticket sales aren't good. You might be absolutely right. And you know,
but could be. You know, I mean, going out on tour. You know, going out and playing dates. It, you know, going taking it out on the road is going to be a rough thing. You got to make your nut and if tickets. If it looks like ticket sales are going to be half or maybe three quarters of what it is, it might not be worth going out. And now you're pissed off because you had to sit in your ass during 20. Now you got to sit your ass during 21 and hope to God you can get out during 22. And you feel that there might, and if in your personal agenda that there's a manipulation of facts and figures and this and that, you're gonna lash out. You know?
I will say that comparing going to a comedy show to slavery and segregation, it really does sound like an old, out of touch white man when you say it's like, dude, this is nothing like that.
No, it's nothing like that at all.
No. You don't
from a guy that's trying to make his living. And is curtailed by mandates and stuff like that. That he might personally feel is out of touch.
No, listen. I have no problem with him being angry.
I'm being a devil's advocate once again. So you know,
listen, like Joe, I have no problem with Jim Brewer being angry at the situation. I have a problem when you start comparing this shit to slavery and segregation. Because this is not that.
No.
Coming to see Goat Boy or not coming to see Goat Boy has nothing to do with slavery or segregation. We all have decisions. That you can take the risk. You can not take the risk. You can get vaccinated. You can not get vaccinated. Jim can...
Well, right. You know, and also to your point is, you know, Brewer is a hysterically funny, brilliant... However, he's not a political comic. He's not Bill Maher, you know.
No, that's why I don't understand this.
Yeah.
I knew Patton, and not that Patton Oswalt is particularly political comic, but I've always known that Patton Oswalt was.
You knew his leanings.
Yes. Jim Brewer, you know, if I had to think deeply about it, I was he's probably conservative. But I never would have known these staunch held beliefs that apparently he has now. And I think for Jim Brewer's career, it's better off when people don't know.
Well, find out. Like I said, going back to Anthony Cumia's show, Brewer hadn't come on for years, and Ant always thought that Ant's got his right wing slant and his take on stuff, and Brewer is the silly guy and stuff like that. And maybe Brewer wouldn't come on due to because he used to go on Opie and Anthony all the time.
I remember.
He comes on Anthony's show, and then he went into pretty much pursuant to this article, his leanings, and you're like, wow, and he went on Ant's show, and he took the right wing slant. So maybe he had a.
But here's the thing. Here's the difference. People watching Anthony's show, that's going to play too. That's a very right wing.
Sure.
That's a very right wing one. This got picked up by all the mainstream media.
So now everybody.
So everybody knows. So yeah, for Anthony's crowd, that's great. But it's not as huge as all these major news corporations and everything. So now people who never knew about Jim Brewer's political leanings, just liked him from Saturday Night Live, enjoyed his comedy specials. Now he might have turned off a bunch of people with this shit.
But maybe not, because it's outside of the performance. If he introduces that into his show.
Pip and I were just having a conversation.
But if it's just a comment on why the tour is canceled. It's just his opinion. It doesn't affect what he brings into his show.
Before the show, Pip and I were having a conversation, and Bill Maher brought it up too, about you have to separate people from their politics. Mm-hmm. And I brought you up. I said to Pip, I go, you separate your politics. You hate Joe's politics, but you love Joe. Right. That's what we have to do as a country. Unfortunately, not enough people do that. So while yes, some people may be able to separate Jim Brewer's politics from his comedy.
You gotta give people the freedom. Look, on the Way to the World Project, Maggie and Camille are very left leaning. Very, very left-leaning. We don't bring it up. I mean, we discussed it once during dinner, but it was very pleasant. And we don't bring it into play. And we work fine together. We love each other, you know? But most people aren't like that.
Most people aren't like that. Look at these school board meetings. I mean, look at this. People are angry. That's why we need the sitz bath. All right, enough. Let's move on. We need people to chill out.
We need a sitz bath.
America needs a sitz bath. I'd say a group hug, but some of you are infested with COVID. And I am not Mr. Immunity!
Yeah.
Oh, you're
not. All right, so a little fun story. A woman has revealed how her vibrator almost burnt down her apartment. Posting to the Confessions subreddit, she explained that she had used a vibrator a few weeks ago and forgot to unplug it. First of all, the one with the crank was broken? What's wrong with you, you animal?
You know what's funny about this show? This is the way policy is, and you got to accept. Let's go to the dildo story.
I like to cleanse the palate.
Nice segue in the arrangement.
Very smooth.
Listen,
segue.
No, it's a very good. Jim Brewer felt he was getting fucked, and now we're talking about a woman who felt like she was being fucked. I'm a professional.
Pleasantly until things turned.
Well, unplugged. I mean, when you see that plug, what are you doing, woman? Get yourself a battery operator, you fucking beast.
Jeez, do you need a generator?
Yes. There's a power. How will I diddle myself? There's a power failure.
Really?
Well, diddling goes way up during power failures. It remained forgotten to her bed until it almost caused a fire. What are you doing, you fucking beast? She wrote, I woke up with the thing going beside me because I got super drunk last night and rolled on top of it, which flicked it on. It's very sensitive.
Yeah.
It completely melted and my whole apartment smells like burnt plastic and pussy.
You know what? When I was doing the show prep, all right, when he gets to that point, we got to throw that line in. But I'm enough trusting you.
Joe, do you smell something? Did somebody burn the tuna steak? What is going on?
And believe me, if you don't think the guy that was writing his article goes, Christ, I wish I could write that.
Somebody heating up cat food in the microwave again?
Are you crimping your hair too long? I smell burnt hair.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Fucking animal. I honestly think it was minutes away from...
What the hell?
I don't know. I honestly think it was minutes away from setting my whole apartment on fire, which is both embarrassing and terrifying. Yeah, well, when they come up with their hose, well, where were you sooner? Yeah, if you were here with the hose, I wouldn't need the little fucking plug-in toy.
Hold on. A stove fire and having the fire department show up is embarrassing, okay? It happened. This is really embarrassing.
No. Having your dildo catch on fire from overuse and then having firemen show up is a fucking dream come true. Oh, excuse me, hunky fireman, please put my dildo out.
You gotta buy a good, reliable vibrator. You can't go buying those gas station vibrators.
The gas station vibrators. Where do you shop?
She added, moral of the story, always unplug your vibrator, shake my head. A commenter urged her to contact the customer care team of the brand she got from adding, that is very dangerous and not up to hazard standards. These things should go through testing. Hours and hours of testing. You know how many clits we rubbed raw to make sure that your rabbit works?
At the fact that you got the testing thing, you have this machine go, our vibrators go through hours of testing.
I didn't want to tell the audience what I was doing at my new job, but...
Make sure your vibrator doesn't get wet. Well, that defeats the purpose.
Totally.
These things should go through testing to ensure safety of use, and that doesn't sound like it passes. Might even be able to get a refund since you say it was expensive. A plug-in expensive vibrator? What is it, a jackhammer?
That's what I'm thinking. Wow. I was like, they make them to plug in?
Her pussy's like looking. We get it.
Yeah. I like this. I like this. Many modern toys are fitted with fail-safe systems to switch off if the motor's overheated. Can you imagine going, before I jam this in my flu, is this UL listed?
Really? This is UL listed.
Another user said a similar thing happened to them. I learned my lesson when my wand, plugged in for days, suddenly leapt into the air, goes, it smells down there, woman. No, shooting flames. Thank goodness I was. How much do you have to piss off a sex toy when it jumps out of your crotch and shoots flames? How badly does the sex toy want to get away from you?
I like, too, that all sorts of women are coming out of the woodwork with their story on what...
Confessions of the Vag.
Oh my god.
I just want to know where she shops.
Yeah, bet you do. Another, let's see, similar instance have been reported in the past with one Norwich woman telling the Mirror how she was burned by an exploding vibrator. I thought she was the one who was supposed to explode. The vibrator was asked, said, well, you know, usually I've been doused in liquids. Turnabout's fair play.
By an exploding vibrator. I'm supposed to come, not shit myself.
Some people are turned on by that. Similar instance, let's see. Another outlandish incident in recent years was when the Daily Mirror reported how firefighters in Australia tackled a flaming vibrator found at the side of the road.
Aye, it's the flaming vibrator. Look at
good
it.
G'day! Good pussy!
I saw it lying there on flames. And I tried to put it out.
I'm going to sneak up on the rabbit from behind.
All the shit down there that they have on the side of the road, wallabies, kangaroos, a goddamned alligator, not as a flaming vibrator.
it's dangerous in the outback. What do you want me to tell you?
That's actually the name of one of their animals, flaming vibrators.
In a blog post, they say you can relax and feel confident that your properly cared for vibrator will not set on fire. Many modern toys are fitted with fail-safe systems to switch off if the motors overheat. Oh my god, you animals. The best way to be fully confident is to only buy your sex toys from a reputable buyer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Station vibrators.
You can't get your dildo from the guy at the side of the road who has them in his coat and opens them up like they're watches.
They're just hanging there like salamis, you know.
Vibrators here. Get your vibrators here. Dildos, anal beads. Got all your sex toys.
Ooh, that's in lime green.
Make sure.
Like the 7-Eleven. Let's see. Malamars, coffee, jumper cables. Ah, a dildo.
Malamars and jumper cables and dildos. Oh, my.
That's a fucking date. Let me tell you, that's a date, my dear. That is a nice
that is a hell of a date.
All right, so so like in the story, it said the vibrator was in her bed for weeks. What type of filthy hose bag? So she fucking diddles herself, and then she just leaves it there. This woman is never cleaning the sheets, and then she's drunk, and then she passes out. Like, what type of beast is this woman?
She probably had a fucking wet spot the size of that spot on Jupiter.
Wow.
That eye.
probably looked the same way.
and there's gas fumes and rock belts around it, too.
I got to tell you, I would not put something that could get that hot close to my my tender parts.
No. That sounds bad.
Please don't go in that. Thank you, sir.
Have you had a story like of this?
No.
Because I don't think Joe and I have.
No. First of all, I don't go around fucking toasters. Secondly, I've never even heard of a plug-in one.
Well, I've heard of a plug-in one.
I have never heard of that.
Yeah, sure.
No, well.
Well, batteries are expensive. You know, if you can plug the thing in.
You get rechargeable ones, Joe. You're fine. You're good. Get the rechargeable one. You're good to go.
Understood.
No, I know nothing about such things, really. I'm shocked.
Pip is old school. She had to whittle before she diddled. Those are made from wood.
Back in my day, all we had were our fingers and wood carving.
It's like George Washington. Teeth? You can whittle anything.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I don't know. It's just, I think this woman, it's probably true.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
But I think she's a disgusting pig. Not because she did it.
No.
Because like, you know, listen, it's one thing when you meet college boy Davin.
Right.
And, you know, he's got the Return of the Jedi sheets on the twin-size bed. You're hoping he changes the sheets weekly or bi-weekly, but I wouldn't bank on it. But when you're in a grown...
Crunchy.
Yeah, exactly. When you're a grown-ass woman...
Yeah.
You can't be leaving that shit in there.
For weeks.
I know. It's like you hear an extension cord and buzzing. Something's going on in there.
It was there for weeks. Oh my god.
And then apparently in her drunken stupor she flicked it on. I don't know.
I don't even know how any of this
Lisa One Eye says that it gives a new definition to a vagina monologue.
That's awesome. That's great, Lisa.
All right. So, I told you we cleanse your palate. Is your palate not cleansed? All right. On the break, we got new music from Tommy Stoneberg with Only For You and Urania with Simulation Hypothesis. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, Fake Davin has a new friend.
Nice. So
we will embark. We can only hope. We will embark on a new journey with Fake Davin. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.